What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Your guys' show starting is the beginning of a new era.
So glad you guys are able to team up together for the afternoon show.
All right, well, we navigated that pretty well. I was worried, but I'm always worried. Yeah, that's my bit.
My bit is good vibes.
I think those are good vibes, babe.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday fast? Yeah. Oh, that's the Spiegel and Holmes show.
I might swerve in that corner.
Whoa.
See Matt Spiegel over there.
We love the Coach Spiegs.
Are you noticing that?
Well, I will tell you, Spiegs, if you've noticed it, I've noticed it.
Lawrence Holmes, put a star on it.
I have the driver in my bag. Today's the day for the driver.
Now watch this drive. Nice one, Lawrence.
How will we handle?
Greg Council joining us.
All right, that was fun.
Nico Horner.
It's good to be back. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
Missed your voice.
Oh, that's nice.
See?
You were supposed to follow that up with
Mr. Musk.
Picked off by Jalen Johnson. Touchdown.
Jalen, this is Lawrence Holmes. Jalen, are you muted?
He's muted.
Bringing your rookiness to me.
That's on me, man. That's on me.
Forget about it, cuz.
Bob Costas.
Matt, thank you very much. And Lawrence, stop dominating the conversation the way you have over the last several minutes, really.
Joe Buck.
This is a one-way relationship. I don't think I've ever asked anything of Matt. I think the last time I was in this imbalanced of a relationship,
yeah.
I married her.
Hey, man.
I don't care who they put on. Joe Buck's on, I turn the sound down.
Holy Chicago.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Lawrence, everything's fine. Matt, everything's fine. Tanny, everything's fine.
It's like doing radio, right? You're only as good as your teammates. So, you know, Tanny comes in and he's a magician with his sound. And then you guys come on and your guys' team is great there. That's why your show is good. Football's like that, too. You can't be good by yourself.
I mean, goosebumps. Let's kick off this show with a bang.
I mean, let's go.
Welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We have got you until 6 o'clock. Don't worry. Full boat show tomorrow. Unless some other torrential rain rolls in between now and the start of the second game, which the forecast says is not a possibility. But you never know. You just never know.
It is Chicago in the late summer when this town doesn't know what to do with itself. As evidenced by our shows of late, short, action-packed, and full of both football and baseball.
Yes, there's a lot of football that we need to get to as well. By the way, we weren't expecting Tyler Buterbaugh to be here at the beginning of the show.
Look at that.
And he just rolled in. So he's here, and we were putting together our bracket of Tylers.
Yeah, I was suggesting that to him because I told him he's very high on my depth chart of Tylers. He's very high up there. It's not fully released. You don't go public with that kind of thing.
No.
When there's two Tylers working.
That's scheme.
Here.
That's a scheme. You don't want to give that out there for people.
Yeah. You want to give away scheme.
That's right. But
our
then
decided schematic advantage. We don't want to give that away.
But he does need to do a bracket of Tylers come March, like Tyler Texas,
yeah,
the president. We spent a lot of time
Tyler Foljam,
and that's a sportscaster.
Yeah, it's my buddy Tyler Foljam who does all the sports betting stuff at ESPN.
There you go. Well, call me crazy, but I'm excited about Tyler Palko. You know,
oh yeah, that's right.
I mean, there's a lot.
I feel like Tyler Palko beat the Bears at one point.
I know he played the Bears, but let's be honest.
You guys can call me crazy,
yeah,
but
can.
I'm excited about Tyler.
Now that's perfect. See, look, Tanny's already doing production for the great bracket of Tylers coming your way this March here on The Score. And we spent
I thought I covered that game. Tyler Palko did beat the Bears 10-3.
I mean, who hasn't?
Who was quarter? It was 2011.
Wait, was that Hail Mary at half, like right before the half, that was the deciding factor in that one?
Yep.
Look at Chris Tannehill's Bears memory.
I bored out that game at BBM. Yeah. Major Wright was terrible.
Caleb Haney was the starting quarterback for the Bears game.
That was despair, man. After Jay went down, oh, God.
Oh, yeah, that was a bad run there.
So there's a lot of Tylers that you can choose from.
Yeah, now the president was bad news.
Yeah, John Tyler, bad guy.
Not a good guy.
But
still a one seed, I bet, in the bracket of Tylers.
But it is very interesting, and you're going to think that I'm making this up when I say this because John Tyler was the 10th president of the United States, but his grandsons just died. Not his great-great-great-grandsons. Uh-huh. His grandsons just died.
That's something right there.
And they were black. That's a whole other issue. But go look it up if you would like to. So Tyler's here.
Sorry for your loss.
We are too. Tyler's here. Tanny's here. Yeah. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello. Interesting times at Wrigley. By the way, I didn't sing a single national anthem today. Not one. You know, it's a big difference when you do one day and you don't do one the next day. Let me just tell you.
Are you not on call for tonight's game? Because there's another game tonight.
No.
We can get you over there by 6:45.
I might be one and done. What a thrill, though.
The Scott Foster of anthem singer, just perpetually on call just in case.
I'm the emergency anthem guy. That's right. I'll be up in the booth like, whoa, need one. Make the call. Here you go. Come on down. But interesting times when Owen Casey gets a start at home. Look at that. And he makes a couple of nice catches in right field
in the
corner.
It's an adventure, but he's catching the ball.
He is. And the man had three RBIs, including a beautiful opposite field home run on a really nice stroke.
How about this? You get your first hit yesterday. You get your first RBI today. You get your first home run today. That's pretty great.
It was lovely. And it's like one of those really nice moments. And you see, like, he can't help but be grinning from ear to ear as he rounds the bases and all the shots in the dugout. And I got to tell you, man, if you're in high esteem by the org to the point that they won't give you up to get a starting pitcher with some control, but you're not in high enough esteem by the org that they'll bring you up and play you, I'm confused. And Owen Casey should have been up and playing a couple of weeks ago. They have needed a youthful jolt of energy as a visually dead-ass bunch for a while here. And so now here he is, and he's really only playing because Kyle Tucker got benched, which we will talk about in a matter of moments because that is a bigger story. But, like, boy, Owen Casey should have been here, and some of the things that have gone on feel awfully late. This org feels like they've been late to the punch on several different things since the deadline, in my opinion.
And then you blink, and going into today, you're 9 games out of first place. Now, here's what's good that happened today. One, the Cubs won game one.
Yep.
Two, for at least another day, you have kept alive the idea that you could win the tiebreaker with the Brewers. I don't know if it matters because you've only got 36 games left, but if you win 3, you win the tiebreaker with the Brewers.
Don't you think it's most important that they play well and feel good about themselves?
You know where I'm at on this. My whole thing is get yourself ready for the tournament.
And basically, yesterday, when it was announced after what we thought was the first game that Kyle Tucker was going to be sat down for a little while, when that was announced, it was, we're better off taking some steps back to take steps forward. It's like, well, that sounds an awful like losing the battle to hopefully reload and eventually win the war. It sounds an awful lot like that, which you've been espousing for a while. So, I think what's most important is that they play well and they feel decent about themselves. They hit a couple home runs today. That Brewers bunch is good, man. They don't chase. They do not chase. Some of the stuff, when Matthew Boyd walked 3 to load the bases, it was on the kind of stuff and the kind of placement that he's been striking dudes out with all season long. That bunch just does not chase.
I have the Cubs lineup for game 2.
Is Kyle Tucker in it?
He is not. Seiya Suzuki is your DH this evening. Casey is going to play right field.
Okay. Who's leading off?
Michael Busch is leading off. So it's Busch, Hap, Suzuki, PCA, Kelly, Horner, Casey, Swanson, Shaw.
Shaw had 9 again. Okay.
You are frustrated by that.
I'm frustrated by that because Craig Counsell took kind of a subtle dig at Shaw in pregame on Sunday, basically saying, like, he's played well, he's hit well for a couple of weeks against some advantageous matchups, and I wanted to say he's actually hit well for more than a month against absolutely everybody.
About 6 weeks,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. So, but, you know, it is what it is.
Well, let's hear from Kyle Tucker, because one, Cubs fans don't ordinarily hear from Kyle Tucker, and him dealing with the fact that he needs to take a little bit of a break, he talked with the assembled media. There's a lot in here if you're listening in between the words.
This is pregame today.
And Speegs and I were kind of going back and forth on whether or not we should play it. We decided that we did because of the discussion that we had after we listened to it with Chris Tannehill. This was Kyle Tucker earlier today. Turn up your radio and listen.
I mean, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I'm not starting the first game, so... I might get in there at some point. We'll see. But right now, we're just trying to win the game, first game today, and then move on to the second.
What does it feel like for you right now?
I mean, production-wise, not great. I mean, I'm just here trying to help the team win. I haven't really done a great job of that lately, so that part of it sucks. But, I mean, I'm still rooting for everyone around here, and, you know, hopefully everyone has success throughout the rest of the year. So I'm just trying to help us win games.
After the third at bat yesterday, we totally like losing focus at that point, not running that ball out. I mean, how do you get your head around? We know you to be just always on top of everything you do in your game. That's your reputation.
I mean, it's kind of exhausting. I don't know how many times I've rolled over to first or second, but I mean, regardless, I mean, you still got to run down the line, whether you're out by 50 feet or not. But I mean, it's a little tough right now.
When you are going through a tough stretch like this, how do you digest fans' frustration when they're booing, and what is it like for you in those moments?
I mean, it's fine. I still got to do my job regardless of cheers or boos or whatever, but I mean, obviously I do a better job at that.
Ted had mentioned yesterday, between talking to people here previously in your baseball life, just mechanical things, what are you looking at this point with everything?
Anything to just stay inside and throw a ball and hit a ball up the middle. So I'm just going to try and continue to figure that out and hopefully figure it out quick.
Do you feel bad habits were developed when you hurt your finger, and maybe that's now what you're trying to work through?
I don't know. I mean, I can't really point to one thing, so... I mean, if I could, I'd probably have already fixed that one thing, but, I'll just keep working at it.
You've been such a great player for such a long time. How do you internalize this long slump, probably in your career, and the idea that other people say he's so tough that he wouldn't tell you if he was hurt anyway?
Our job is to go out there and play every single day and, do the best we can. That's just what I'm trying to do. Obviously, it hasn't been great lately, but, I'm just trying to do my best and help our team win.
Is that true that you would internalize something that's hurting you if you just felt you could go out and play, even if it's not near 100%?
I don't really think it matters how I feel or what I think. I mean, as long as, I go out there and help our team win, that's all that really matters. I mean, our game is based off, how successful you are on the field as an individual or a team, so... regardless of how you feel.
You alluded to kind of the lack of answers. Have you ever had a stretch like this when you really just haven't been able to pinpoint it for this long?
Probably not this long, but I think everyone's had stretches where they haven't done that great or whatever, but I don't know, just trying to figure it out.
It seems like your perspective on life in general just helps you through these, knowing that you're going to work, you're a baseball player, you do the best you can. Is that part of the element of, being even with your life when things aren't going right?
That's just kind of how I guess I view things. I guess with anyone's job, it doesn't really matter how you feel. It's about, what you do at your job, and, I just need to get better at that.
Emotionally, sometimes we can see what you're going through. Mentally, can you describe how you try to prevent the pressure from mounting, and even maybe just, like, in your head? I can only imagine every event might be like, now what, spiraling? Like, what are you thinking? How do you handle that?
I mean, every day and every at bat and every, pitch or whatever, you just try and regroup and refocus and move on. not really worried too much about what happened in the past. I mean, you could always change stuff, you know, the next pitch or next at bat or whatever. So I'm just trying to get to that point.
I know this is sort of obvious in a sense, and you've answered this question, but I do want to give you another chance to answer it. You feel physically well enough to play, and you don't think you have any issue that would be best served by an IL stint?
No, I'm fine. I mean, I've played, you know, for the most part every game this year, so I'm fine going out there.
Kyle, you did such a good job blocking things out for so long, but when you're this close to free agency, does that creep into your
things
I mean, I don't really care. I mean, I just care about winning today's game and helping out with that. So regardless of what happens later, it's not a factor right now.
Thanks, Kyle.
Thanks, Kyle. Thank you.
That's Kyle Tucker, who says it doesn't matter how he feels and how he thinks. But that's in the course of 4 minutes, where he also says he doesn't have any answers. And he also says he's well enough to go out there and play every day.
I mean, I don't really think it matters how I feel or what I think.
I would argue that both of those things matter quite a bit.
Quite a bit. That is a dude who desperately needs a mental reset. I feel like he's so committed to thinking about the game in a dispassionate, you know, detached kind of line item sort of analytical way, which has worked for him, that now he's struggling and he doesn't really know how to dig himself out of it. And he's also not willing to sit down for a while. Pat Murphy said this morning he thinks the dude is hurt. I think the dude is hurt. I think the dude's hurt in perhaps a few different ways, and it's affecting him, but he doesn't want to admit that. He says he's fine to go out there, which is admirable, of course, but until it's not.
Correct. So why don't we discuss this further, and then we can add in some of the Jed Hoyer stuff, which we didn't have time to get to on yesterday's show. It should be good that the Cubs, they won today, at least game one of this doubleheader today. There's still a lot of big picture stuff we need to discuss. So let's take a break and discuss that. Don't worry, there'll be some Bears coverage inside the 5 o'clock hour as well. It's Spiegel and Holmes. We're here with you until six on the
possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most, exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Score.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
I think Tucker's hurt. I don't have any information, but Tucker's not the same. He's hurt, and he's playing through it, and he's such a class kid. He probably doesn't mention it to anyone. I mean, that kid's. I don't know him, but everything I hear and watching him play the game, he's first class, and he wouldn't complain of something that's bothering him because he doesn't want an excuse. He feels that responsibility. But I would say there's probably something physically going on there.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy this morning on Mully and Haw talking about Kyle Tucker.
You're going to hear, by the way, that whole interview, which was tremendous.
It's great.
Going to hear that in 1 hour from now before pregame, before when the Cubs get ready to go with game two of the doubleheader. They beat the Brewers today. Willie Castro with a big three-run homer. He was so excited rounding the bases. That's a good dude and a good player who has not hit since he got here.
Right. He needed that, Spiegs. Because he's been doing all the other stuff, that you Swiss Army knifing it and all that good stuff, but he hadn't really hit. So seeing him come up with a big hit, Owen Casey with a huge day over on the north side today, fantastic. Matthew Boyd was solid. The bullpen did enough, and they hung on.
It's a little sketchy with the bullpen.
Yes.
And Palencia got in some trouble and got a double play to get out of it. But they get by the Brewers in game one, and they get a game two tonight. No rain on the horizon tonight.
And Kyle Tucker not in the lineup for game two. We appreciate you hanging out with us if you're leaving Wrigley Field, or if this is just your routine at 5 o'clock, you listen to the guys. You're like, ordinarily, guys, don't you guys do a Bears hit, one word or two words at 5 o'clock? Yes, we do. But since we started a little later and this discussion about Kyle Tucker is flowing, we will continue to do that, and then the next segment, we will pivot and do a little bit of Bear. So hang with us. Hang with them if you want to get some Bear stuff in before 6 o'clock.
So here's the thing. Like, we had grandiose plans. I tried to get it going. Operation Woo King Tuck, right?
Change really, that letter.
I try to get everything going. Operation hashtag Woo King Tuck. Tanny has procured, I believe, the 6 Sprinter vans. Alex...
might only need 4 now.
Well, Alex has the $600 million. He's gotten that.
Might only need 4 now.
We just need 600 duffel bags to have $1 million in each.
Maybe might only I'll be in charge 4. Of that. I'll be that.
Thank you, Tyler Buterball has got the duffel bags. Might only need 4 of all those things. But last night it morphed into Operation Boo King Tuck.
It has.
And that was not the idea. That was not the grand plan. Dude grounded out again. And did not run hard on the way to first. And he addressed it in that piece of tape that we listened to with the beat writers.
I appreciate him addressing it and saying.
First, fair ball, and Tucker is out.
A little Boo King Tuck there.
Ooh, Operation Boo King Tuck. Not what I had in mind.
I appreciate him understanding that was not ideal. And even though he's frustrated, and he has a right to be, like rolling over 4-3, 4-3, 4-3, the type of stuff can get to a hitter, still got to run it out.
Yeah, and Craig Counsell knew that. Last night he was talking about the fans being frustrated and Kyle being frustrated and how it's just not clicking. And he said, we referenced it, that like sometimes you got to take some steps back to go forward again, and Kyle Tucker benched. This was Craig Counsell talking about Kyle not running out that double or that ground ball. Tanny, is this from last night or from pregame today?
This is pregame today.
So it's pregame today. So he's doing the benching, but this is about the not running it out from pregame today.
Look, I think there are balls that you are out on that full 90 feet effort doesn't really get you anything. But I also think, that Kyle's in a situation where kind of his struggles at the plate are affecting him kind of in other places, and you know it's things like that give you clues to that.
He didn't need that first part.
He really didn't. And the thing is that Cubs fans are not booing him for not the entire 90 feet. But if you're just kind of standing there at the plate expecting to be out in games that you desperately need, chasing a team that you desperately want to catch, it's not a good look.
Respect 90. It's what Joe Maddon built his culture on down in Tampa Bay. And
you can shut it down at 20 if you're out. But not at least really giving an effort out of the box is the problem here.
Somewhat related, I don't know if you guys have been watching. Somebody tweeted the link to the video for last night. White Sox up 13-5, and they're 35 games under 500. Did you catch Luis Robert busting his ass down the line last night?
Well, he kind of had to because the tying run came to the plate in that game.
But Luis Robert is born again hard.
Well, let's
I'm just saying. I feel like he's on a young team that actually cares as opposed to the team that he was on before. It's like
I think they're 3-9 in their last 12 though.
That feels like the record since I signed up for the CHSN subscription. Like because I got really excited about Colson Montgomery. And I will wear this. I'm wearing my Sox fan. I'll take the blame. Yeah. I think it's my fault.
Okay.
I've not watched once since getting the sub.
I didn't mean to take us there. I just saw the Luis Robert running hard where they're up like 12-5 and 35 games out of 500. I was like, I see that.
I'm glad that he did it.
You are definitely born again hard.
Yes.
I'm glad that he did it because that game turned.
It did. It did.
That game got real dicey.
Yeah, the end of that game was so bad, it made me check in on it. We should check in on the Chase for Disgrace tomorrow.
Oh, it's a good call.
It's not promising, depending on what you're rooting for.
Chase for the Chase for Disgrace.
No, that was when Lawrence was supposed to go out there.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
But I went to Kansas City. I went and saw the White Sox in Kansas City.
That's not the trip. Then Colorado was the trip you promised. You baited and switched us.
I was halfway there, and I just decided I'd stop off in Kansas City.
Oh, man. You are confusing.
Although both of those ballparks are pretty high for me.
Colorado and Kansas City?
Yeah.
One is actually baseball with an altitude, they call it.
That's true.
And they beat the Dodgers last night. But now we're digressing.
The Cubs are going there next week.
Run hard, man. I'm sorry, Craig. Yeah, they're not some balls that it's okay to just not give your 90. You know who doesn't believe in that? I'll tell you who doesn't believe in that. Your former bench coach, who's managing the best team in baseball across the way. That bunch runs hard every freaking time, or they sit. They do things fundamentally correct, or they sit. And you'll hear him at 6 o'clock say, if you chase, not only do you sit, sometimes you go back down to the minors. Like,
that's right, King Vaughn.
Dude,
you will be back in the minors.
Don't accept that, Craig. Craig, that's not right. That's not right to accept that. That's disappointing.
It's possible, though, that he didn't accept it, and that's part of the reason that Kyle is not playing today.
That is a good point, because you know what? You're right, and he says it in the back half of the thing. That's one of the reasons that he needs to get the mental break, is because it's affecting him in other ways, and it affects him in that way, and he is sitting him down. You're right. You're right about that.
Here's a couple of things that I want to add on to what both Kyle said and what Pat Murphy said about Kyle Tucker. I understand the concept of, look, if I can go out there and play, I can play. Great. But I think that all of us are now smart enough to know that if you are hurting the team by playing, then your bravery, your courage to go out there while you're hurting is not actually a good thing. It's selfish.
Mm.
Where there are times when you just need to take a break. You know how I feel about that.
I do.
Like the whole idea, well, I'm not going to sit because that's not what I do. Mm-hmm. Right. And then we see how you dip in a lot of years. And it would be better for you to play 140 games instead of trying to play 159.
People said it about Cal Ripken for like the final 8 years of his career. You know? And you could check. I'm going to go right now and check the September splits for one Cal Ripken. Go ahead. Talk amongst yourselves.
So there's that part of it for me where it's. And when he says it doesn't matter what I feel or what I think, it does. Like, if you feel like you can't generate pop because you've got a bad finger, that matters.
Worst slug and worst OPS of any month, Cal Ripken in September.
I mean, honestly, that's like kind of just fun with numbers.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a large sample size, though, over 8 years.
It's his whole career. Yeah. That's his whole career.
It's a large, worst. So was that 22 years or whatever?
It's the worst month of his career. By a lot is September, because he was playing every damn game. Try and break the Iron Horse's record, and it worked.
In a lot of games that didn't matter
for Baltimore. It
didn't
mean jack squat, and then some that did. But anyway, look, I'm glad that Craig Counsell is sitting him down. That's a hard thing to do, to sit down a big money vet who's in a prove-it year. I'm sure it doesn't feel good to Kyle Tucker. To be in a contract push year to be sat down, is this leaving a bad taste in his mouth? Is Operation Boo King Tuck pushing Kyle Tucker out the door? I know Lawrence thinks he was already going out the door.
I think he wasn't here. I actually think it's more likely now that he resigns, but I think that any way this was going to go is him going to go to market, which also makes me wonder, how bad are things with your finger? Are they so bad that you might need off-season surgery? Like, what does that do? Do you go get off-season surgery because you know that you're going to be one of the prize free agents? Is this something that has to do with the leg?
Yeah, Ryan Porth found a foul ball off the shin last year as an Astro for Tucker that correlates with a foul ball off the knee and shin this year, same kind of foul ball above the ankle guard. And since the day of that foul from Tucker from this year, that's when the extra base power has just gone away. It's just gone.
That is an archive soundbite right there.
I mean, the detective work of Ryan Porth. You know what he does? He looks at every foul ball off the shin for every player.
Finally paid off.
He's like, every guys, day. I got something. I finally got something for you.
His office is nothing but still shots of foul balls off shins.
Like, he'll come to us in March, be like, guys, did you see this foul ball in the spring game, Colorado and Oakland? Like,
no.
It doesn't matter today. I'm sure it's great. Ryan, keep it up, though. Y'all, we do tell him to keep it up.
Y'all see what Chris Bryant did, where he fouled that ball off his leg?
No, we're watching the Bulls game, dude. It's March Madness. Plus, we're breaking down the bracket full of Tylers at 425. It's going to be a great segment. We don't have time for your shin fouls today.
We got draft stuff to get ready for. You're out here telling us about Chris Bryant fouling the ball into his ankle.
Come on, Porth. Do Jeez. Better. Do better in
we get
March.
It, we get it, your niche, but come on.
Everybody needs a thing, you know?
All right, so while we're talking about Kyle Tucker, why don't we also talk about the president of baseball operations?
I mean, this was a great interview that I think got lost in some of the shuffle, and we haven't had time to talk about it. You know what I feel? That the lack of aggression at the trade deadline really cost this team some momentum, some good feelings, and some good play, as well as reinforcements, and that the locker room felt it. David Haw asked Jed Hoyer directly about that with Mully and Haw yesterday morning.
Jed, Cubs have struggled since the since the trade deadline, actually, the first of the month. And I just wonder, when you look back at that time, outside perception has been that maybe there was a psychological dip, a deflation in the clubhouse because there wasn't more help on the way, and the moves that we had talked about for weeks and months didn't happen. Do you buy into that at all? Did you sense any maybe decline psychologically or in terms of morale after the deadline passed?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so at all. I think that, you know, the biggest change to how we've been playing has been on the offensive side. And, you know, the offense was really never something we talked about, you know, trading for that much, honestly.
So I appreciate the question. And the offense is, you know, I don't see the inactivity of getting a bat as the problem with the offense. I see the offense and the entire team looking around going, well, I guess they don't think much of us affecting the offense. That's what I see.
Well, and the other thing that you've added to the discussion is, and the Cubs and every team in town, whenever it comes to trades, they love to do this. They love to pull the okey-doke of, well, we're going to make trades by getting some of our hurt guys back. Like, that's going to be kind of like the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. You've been talking about there was a possibility as things started to spiral for Kyle Tucker to bring Owen Casey up,
right?
If you had gotten to the place where you weren't going to trade him.
Yep, and David Haw asked about Owen Casey being here and not playing.
So, Jed, help Cub fans understand something about Owen Casey. He was obviously and understandably valued enough at the deadline to keep from being involved in any big deals. And so when he's called up, finally, he gets a start in Toronto, but against three straight right-handers over the weekend, he's not in the lineup. So is there a difference of opinion in terms of how good or ready Casey is for this challenge between you and maybe Craig Counsell?
No, not at all. I mean, we talked about this, you know, when we brought him up. I mean, I think that, you know, the way our team is set up, if we're going to you know, play him, it's going to be at the expense, really, of Isaiah or Kyle or Ian. That's kind of the way it would work.
So, yeah, and go ahead and do that then. And they did it today, and Owen Casey had three RBIs, including his first home run. So you go ahead and do that then. And there have been opportunities to do that over the weekend against the Pirates, and they did not.
And you could figure out ways to play him in right field or left, because your left fielder has been a problem offensively as well.
Yeah, the left fielder did have himself a nice game yesterday.
For sure.
So good for him.
But there wasn't a lot of nice games in between the trade deadline and yesterday for Ian Happ.
There were opportunities.
I think this is the cut, though, that every Cub fan will kind of be like, wait, what did he say? And is he right about this? This is Jed on not getting a number one starter and what he thinks about adding big names versus trying to build from within.
You guys are asking me right now why Owen Casey's not playing. You know, we're watching Matt Shaw has been playing really well. Pete's an MVP candidate. You know, Kate Horton's been outstanding for a long time. Daniel Palencia has been closing for us. So you look at all these young players, like these are all the kind of players that get asked about in these trades. And so, you know, the only way to win in today's game is with controllable young talent. And so, you know, the idea of taking kind of four of those guys to go get, number three starter, it didn't make a lot of sense for the future of our team, especially given the way we're winning now, which is largely with, you know, a lot of these young players are really helping us.
Did he say the only way to win? Is that what he said? The only way to win is with controllable young talent.
The Dodgers,
I mean, they've got some controllable young talent.
The Phillies.
That is that's not a great choice of words, in my opinion. It is the number one most valuable asset in baseball.
And ideally that's what you want to do, because it sets you up to not overspend because you have young controllable players.
Are the Phillies winning?
Yeah.
Do the Phillies win every year? I mean, they haven't won a World Series yet.
They win a lot.
The only way to win in today's game is with controllable young talent.
That is not true. That's not true.
We just gave you three examples.
Yeah.
Recent ones.
The Padres have controllable young talent. They signed Jackson Merrill to a big deal. Who else is there controllable young talent? I guess Michael King, who's going to be a free agent. But like it's semantics. It is not the only way to win. It's how the Rays win. It's how the Brewers win. And I think Jed spoke in that interview about the Brewers trading away Corbin Burns and trading away Devin Williams, trading away Josh Hader, moving on from some of these potential big money guys. And I get it, and it's a great job by the Brewers, but are you the Brewers? You're wanting to be everything. You're wanting to be small to mid-market philosophically, but big market payroll that's not quite at the behemoth level. It's an odd space to try and inhabit with grace and say the right things every time, and he did not.
I truly hate this for the Cubs, where they have to sort of project as if they're the Rays. You know what I mean? Like that they feel it necessary to project of, well, we're just going to build a baseball team, and that's the way that it's supposed to be. It shouldn't be that way for you. It can be that for Milwaukee, because they kind of have to do it that way. It can be that way for Cincinnati.
Cleveland.
They kind of have to do it that way. You don't. You don't have to do it that way. I don't know if that means you have to be like the Dodgers, but to ignore, like Jed saying that's the only way, is to ignore the fact that over the last decade, the Dodgers have dominated baseball. Forget about World Series. Every single year, you know that the Dodgers are going to be there. They're going to give themselves a ticket to the tournament because they spent money, and they've won two of those.
Now they've had tremendous controllable young talent to augment, to trade, and to use sometimes, whether it's Andy Páez this year or whether it's been Dustin May in previous years. Then they could turn around and they trade Dustin May.
Will Smith. They have those guys.
But then they've paid a lot of those guys.
Correct.
But like, I mean, the Phillies just traded two of their top 100 to get Joan Duran, to get themselves over the top in a winnable year in the winnable National League. And the Cubs did not part with prospects to try and do the same thing. They didn't. And that's what stings. And this idea that's the only way to win is just simply not true. Maybe you don't want to end up like the Phillies. And Jed's spoken about that before. You don't want to end up at the end of a run where you go for it, or like the Mike Ilitch Tigers that all fell off the table. We know that's what they don't want to do. They want to have consistent competition every single year. And that, folks, is how you get an extension.
I mean, it's why you're looking towards 2032.
That's unfortunate.
Because, you know, you're looking at, forget about the fact that there might not be any baseball for a while after next season.
Yeah.
And you're talking about players who are, what, sophomores in high school right now? And you're projecting far enough out that you think that there are going to be people like that are going to help your team in 2032?
Yeah. I mean, and a texter says, guys, it's how the 2016 Cubs won the World Series. They actually had the very healthy mix.
They sure did. And at the trade deadline, you know what they did?
They went for it to finish the job. They didn't accept that Hector Rondon was found money as a closer. They went and traded away prospects of consequence to get Aroldis Chapman. And Anthony Rizzo said on the podcast last week when he walked through the door, they're like, oh my God, we're not going to lose. We're going to win the whole damn thing. That's how they felt. This is not how this team has been playing. This team does not feel that way.
No, it doesn't feel good. But hey, still have the opportunity, win two more games of these three, and you win the tiebreaker against Milwaukee. And then you could say, here we are. There's 33 games left. We're, what, six games back? Let's go.
Yeah. Look, man, it could
seven,
absolutely.
Right? You'd be seven, two, and then.
It could happen. Or you could just get in as a wild card and take a first round series against anybody, and then all bets are off, and you got a shot.
That's the scary part. Luckily, it isn't the coin flip game anymore.
Luckily, it is not that. And also, luckily, Cade Horton leaving with that injury last night, just a blister. That was scary yesterday at first, but just a blister. So that's good news. All right, we should be happier than this. Cubs won.
They did, and they have another game.
Yeah, they do.
We will have that game for you coming up tonight here on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network.
Damn, it got me.
Yeah, that's what I'm here to do. We will have that pregame starting at 6:30 tonight with Zach Zabeman. We need to take a break. How about them Bears? Let's talk about the Bears next here on The Score.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Check Todd out at The Ringer. He's doing incredible stuff with the Todd McShay Show.
You guys are the not messing around crew. I like it.
Afternoons on The Score.
The hope is alive in Chicago.
The Bears are back, baby.
That's exactly what's going through every single Bears fan in this stadium right now. I guarantee you that.
Got our quarterback, got our head coach. Wins the parade.
Now, I hope that your sarcasm detector was working there, because they weren't being serious with that.
I got to be honest. Danny broke my sarcasm detector. It hasn't worked in years.
Oh, sorry.
You know, I mean, and you're just like, you're very solid. I understand exactly what you're saying when you say it. This is the difference. Okay? But yeah, Joe Davis and Greg Olsen with a little sarcasm going on there. But the story coming out of that game was Ben Johnson, to me, the beauty of that offense. Got very excited by that.
And watching Caleb throw the ball well and on time and on target and getting up out of there. I'm almost done with American Kings.
Yeah, you're reading the quarterback book. It's a very readable book, isn't it?
It is a very readable book. And I should be done tomorrow.
Wait till you get to the chapter on Benji Molina. It's really good.
It's really good.
You're really going to love that specifically of anyone I know.
I mean, I'm kind of shocked that he's in here, honestly.
And the story on the origin of Spider-Man. I think you're really going to like that.
I mean, anything with Stan Lee, I'm down.
So that's the quarterback. I look forward to your book report.
It's made me have some thoughts about Alabama football too. I have a working theory, Tanny.
Book reports with Lawrence is a developing situation that I'm really enjoying. I think he should do it. Five-paragraph format, though? Is that what we need? Five-paragraph essay format, thesis, and then three supporting documents?
And then a conclusion.
Then a conclusion. Yeah, that's the Rubster's.
I have been reading this one very academically. Like, there's a different way for me to read books like this, because I think I'm going to end up with my summer reading list being 5 football books.
Oh, man.
And that's unfortunate. and then I left the toughest book on my reading list for last. It's 500 pages.
Is it the Iliad?
No, it's The Warmth of Other Suns, and it's all about the Great Migration. It's like 500 pages of all these stories of people leaving the South to move to places like Chicago.
Yeah.
And
some light and fun, probably.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And I had started that, and I was like, oh, yeah. And then I got my advanced copy of American Kings. I was like, I need to get that done before football season. Damora Smith's book, I got to finish that one.
Yeah, your Great Migration book, it reminds me, I remember being a kid and like going out sledding, and I was very excited. Went out sledding, and I came in, and I was ready to have like some hot chocolate by the fire, you know? And my parents were watching Shoah, the like 7-hour documentary on the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And it was just like, really? I was sledding all day. I'm thrilled to be home. This is what we're doing, you know? I went back out.
Yeah. I got notes and everything. Like all the Caleb stuff from the book. We'll be ready to talk about all of that stuff. There's some great quotes from Carl in this book. Some that we were not brought to our attention, and I think you will enjoy. But that's not why you called.
Dennis Allen spoke today at Bears camp. This one time at Bears camp. And Dennis Allen spoke about his aggressive mindset. He's kind of the anti-Eberflus in terms of the instincts of a defensive coordinator, at least the beginning of the Flus. This is Dennis Allen on his mindset.
Number one is this. It's a mentality. It's a mindset. It's a culture. And so I've said this 1,000 times. It's not about what we play. It's about how we play. And so it doesn't matter what the call is. It's about creating an aggressive mindset, and then you have to be able to execute whatever that call is within that same mindset. I think, you know, we don't want to sit back and let the offense dictate to us. We want to try to dictate the terms to them and continue to come after them and hopefully force them into mistakes. I think, you know, that's what the great offenses try to do to defenses. I think defenses have to do the same thing to the offense.
Oh, hell yeah. This is modern NFL football, man. It's the offense and the defense trying to confuse each other at the line. And Dennis Allen is a guy who historically makes it difficult for opposing quarterbacks to win the chess match.
Confusion is one of the words that's spoken about in American Kings by Sean Payton. And he feels like that is what NFL football is about now. It's confusion. It's conflict defender, where you're putting the guy in conflict and making him make a choice on some of your like dagger concept stuff. It's when you're on the defensive side, it's I'm going to make the quarterback completely confused on what it is that he thinks that he sees. And the thing is that Dennis Allen, it might look like blitzing, but it's not. It's just we've got guys coming from different places, you don't know who.
His blitz percentage is historically actually not that high, but what it is guys coming from different spots all the time, creating confusion. I dig it. He also talked about the cornerback depth and the depth in the secondary because that Terrell Smith injury looked bad. We don't have an update on it yet, but here's Dennis Allen talking about the depth in the secondary.
Well, number one, I think Al's done a great job with those corners. You know, of getting them to play our style of defense. You know, one of the things that we've done pretty well, I think our pass defense has been pretty good throughout the course of training camp, you know, the preseason. And I've always said this, I told the players this today, you know, the best example of team defense is pass defense because one doesn't work without the other, you know. So if we're not disrupting the timing of the routes, then it doesn't really matter how good our rush is. And then if we have a great rush, but yet we're not doing anything in terms of covering the guys, you know, it's a challenge. So, so I think that works together. And look, depth is what you need in this league. Because eventually, you know, injuries happen in this league and you're going to have to call upon some guys that are going to be backup players to have to come out and play at a starter's level. And so that's why we coach every single one of them the same way, from the top of the roster down to the bottom of the roster, because we're going to need all these guys.
That's Dennis Allen on the depth in the secondary.
So it's interesting to me how much everyone has been talking about Nashon Wright. Like, that's fascinating to me. And I was listening to the Athletic Football Pod, and Robert Mays and I are kind of on the same page. Like, you can say what you want. I think that when it we get here, if Jalen is healthy and Jalen was out running around on Sunday, so that's a good thing. If he's healthy enough to play week one, I think Tyreek Stevenson is the guy that's on the other side.
Well, maybe all the Nashon Wright conversations about putting a little pressure on Tyreek Stevenson?
It very well could be. Like, it very well could be the thing of, hey, man, your spot still has to be earned. It's not – Jalen gets his spot given to him because of his production and being an all-pro player. You do not have that spot yet. So,
well, some coaches wouldn't do that. Some coaches would put him on second team upon their arrival.
Flus!
New coaches.
And actually, it was third team.
It was.
They put Jalen on the third team when Flus got here.
Bothered that man.
It should have bothered him. It would have bothered me.
Insulting. Jeff King is the Bears' senior director of personnel, and he was on the Fox pregame with Luke Kanellis talking about that cornerback depth, to be specific.
Well, I think our sports science has done a really good job with Jalen and Kyler. I think we're trending in the right direction there with those players. But it's given guys like Nashon Wright and some of these other players an opportunity to step up and be a part of that competition. Al's done a great job. I mean, Al's played a ton of football in this league. He's a good teacher. He's done a great job, and it's been a good opportunity for those young players to step up.
See what I mean?
Yeah, Nashon Wright is a third-round pick from 2021 out of Oregon State. It was a Cowboy for a few years, then a Viking last year, and now a Bear. And they seem to be impressed with Nashon Wright.
He's played well. I mean, there isn't – I'm not trying to take any shots at him. I'm just saying that this defense, I think – really matches what Tyreek Stevenson's draft stuff says he can do.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the stuff that we've seen, there is an issue. And I talked with some folks when I was up there about this. I'm not convinced that Tyreek has figured out all of the things that happened with the Washington
game. Yeah, I remember you said this, that like he didn't realize that getting involved and complicating things by playing the wrong role on the play seems to have been lost on him.
Yeah. There's that part. And then we were all together. We were all together. We were there at Circa. We were at Stadium Swim watching the Patriots just pick on him.
Yeah.
The Patriots go, there's a guy whose eyes cheat. He cheats with his eyes all the time. His eyes stay in the backfield. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to take our rookie quarterback. We're going to run some play action stuff.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to take advantage of it. And they did, to the tune of two touchdowns in that game.
Can I give you a fun fact about Nashon Wright?
Yes.
His younger brother is a cornerback on the New Orleans Saints roster. His cousin is Mekhi Blackman, who plays corner for the Vikings. Another cousin is Bump Cooper Jr., who plays cornerback for the Dolphins. There are four...
A family of DBs.
Five DBs. I mean, that's a lot of cornerbacks in one family. Who's the family that I'm thinking of?
Somebody's reading Wikipedia.
The Rolls. I'm thinking about Antrell Roll and Samari Roll and all the... And there's a lot of Rolls who are corners and DBs.
If you don't stop naming Rolls.
I tell you what, Kaiser, I like Kaiser. I just had some the other day. The
Kaiser roll?
No, there's the other ones that they give you before the meal. A Gemini. God, it was so good. Gemini dinner menu. Carry on, Lawrence. I'm sorry. This is very important.
It is very important.
Yeah.
But I will tell you that, look, man. The Fullers are also on that list.
Oh, remember? Yeah, there you go. The Fullers, absolutely.
Weren't there three Fullers in the NFL playing DB?
It might have even been four at one point. The Parker House rolls. The warm Parker House rolls at the Gemini. Oh, let's go. Delicious.
Let's see. So there's Kyle. There's Corey. There's Vincent.
These are the Fullers?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Lars.
I'll tell you what.
If you don't stop naming Fullers.
And Kendall. right?
And Kendall.
That's four guys.
Here's a little more from Jeff King, the Bears Senior Director of Personnel, talking about the left tackle situation, because we need to get to something very specific at the end of this conversation. Here's Jeff King on left tackle.
Ben was very honest prior to the practice. He said, listen, we're still looking for a left tackle to step up to be our number one guy. Theo Benedict has thrown himself in the mix. Was that a guy you found? Tell me what you like about Benedict.
It's the process. You know, Reese Hicks was the area guy, and then him and Ryan Kavanaugh kind of tag teamed and got him in as a signing as an undrafted kid. And then all the credit to Theo, the work that he's put in this past year on the practice squad. So, you know, he's going to have a good opportunity along with Karan, along with Ozzie and Braxton. So credit to him and this coaching staff for what they've done with him so far.
If one of the four guys doesn't step up, is it near impossible for the personnel department to find another left tackle out there via waivers or a trade?
Yeah, left tackles aren't growing on trees this time of year.
Good ones.
Right? Yeah. So, but when you look at it, you know, they're in different buckets, right? I mean, you have Karan and Ozzie who are young players. They're still trying to find their way, find some consistency, what Dan and Ben's asking of them. And then Braxton's coming back from a serious injury. He's got to get healthy and find his way, too. So we still have time. You know, that's why we have preseason games, so they can get their legs up under them. And, you know, hopefully one of them pulls out of the gate here along with Theo and gives us a chance week one.
So that's Jeff King on Theo Benedict. Theo Benedict's public claim to fame so far was singing the song and ripping the pants off last year in Hard Knocks.
Well, his other claim to fame is that he's been working extremely hard at camp. And he is, I don't want to say he's made it difficult, because I think now we're at the place where unless something horrific happens, that Braxton Jones is your left tackle for this team. But he's at least given them the fact that he's an undrafted guy not playing American football and mm-hmm. finds himself at a point where he's even in the discussion is a major victory.
Here's Theo Benedict. Haven't heard him talking about this situation. This is today about maybe being a starting left tackle for the Bears.
Theo, coming off of that Miami game and then last week, how did the coaches tell you, or like, I guess the process of you getting those first team reps, how did they tell you? Did you know that was coming?
No, I mean, I think I've known since the start of camp that I had a shot at it. Like, I took their word for it when they said that to the group that job was to be won. And then when we got out to practice, obviously they just kind of go through the groupings, and they told me that I'd be taking snaps both with the ones and the twos that day. So it just kind of happened naturally.
Ben Johnson said last week that you might have been a little overlooked at first for that left tackle battle. Did you feel that same way?
Yeah, I think I did. And it's not their fault. It's nobody's fault. There was just no film on me. Like, when I remember when I got up there with Roshar for the first time, he said, other than some practice clips, all we have is college tape because I got hurt last year. So it was kind of audition on the run there at the start of OTAs, but I'm glad that they've noticed.
What aspect of the game did you think made the most strides maybe since you got here last year?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a level of comfortability just in terms of NFL defenses and those kind of things that allow you to play faster, but I think Coach Roshar and the whole coaching staff have done a really good job kind of helping me with my footwork in the run game that have allowed me to get into powerful positions. I think pass pro, I'm still working on all these aspects, but posture has improved, landmarks with my hands, that kind of stuff.
With two games now in the preseason and actually having some tape for the coaches to look at, do you feel like you've put on good enough tape to win this job?
I think I've improved for sure. I think the Miami game, there was times when I felt like I was getting my feet under me a little bit for a first game, and I think the Buffalo game was a little bit more solid, cleaner. Definitely a couple plays I want back. So, yeah, I mean, I think I've put myself in contention for sure.
What have you learned playing next to Joe?
A ton. Joe is just such a great leader in our room. Obviously, he's seen so much in his career. Technically, there's a ton of stuff he's taught me. He does some really unique stuff with his hands, I think, which doesn't always translate to tackle, but certainly in terms of learning about how he views leverage, it has helped. And then just as a leader, like he does a great job, I think, when guys are down on themselves or maybe had a bad rep, helping them get their chin back up, helping them get back into things. And probably the perspective of playing 10 years helps you do that.
In fact, how would you describe your relationship evolving with guys like Braxton and Ozzie and Karan as this competition grows?
Yeah, I mean, it's been great. Well, I was already really close with both Braxton, and then me and Karan actually coming in together. We've trained together, so that's really my brother. And then, I mean, Ozzy's, we joke, he's like a 50-year-old man in his 22-year-old body. So he's real mature and approaches everything the right way. So we get along great. We help each other during the game. Like, we'd come off the sideline, whoever was in would say, we got this from the rusher. Hey, look out for this when you're in. So it's been all positive.
Last season, you had some buzz, obviously, because of Hard Knocks. But how has things progressed since then in your mindset? How different has this camp been for you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, just not getting hurt, I think, has been great. Last year, in many ways, after I got hurt, my role was much more as a locker room guy than it was a guy on the field. So I've just been excited to contribute on the field, too, this camp.
Man, that's cool. Good for him. Good for that kid. He's getting a chance and impressing the coaches. This can happen when there's a new regime. It's like the way they talk about it, I don't think it's just about trying to put pressure on Ozzie Trapillo. I think they actually like the way this kid has been playing.
And that allows me, because I'm pretty sure that last voice you heard asking the question was Philip Thompson, allows me to do a little media news here. Philip Thompson is now going to be covering the Bears for the Tribune.
Wow.
And now Dan Wiederer is covering the Bears for The Athletic.
Congratulations to our colleague here at Odyssey with Take the North podcast and more on The Score, Dan Wiederer.
And congrats to Philip, who's a really good dude who's worked for a long time, and now he gets an opportunity on this beat, and he's going to do a great job.
Yeah, I've talked to him about several different things through the years. So that's good for him. He's written on a lot of different stuff.
Yes, he has. Let's give you some Riot Fest tickets, all right? We're going to give away a pair every day this week of Saturday general admission tickets. So if you're caller 6 right now to 312-540-0670, you're going to be set up with it. Riot Fest, September 19th through the 21st at Douglas Park in the city. Congratulations. We'll take a break. Back after this on The Score.
Where's my rolls?
I don't know, Ma.
Waiter.
These Parker House rolls, they belong to my ma.
They do not. They were for the table.
Wrap these up, will you? Cellophane.
That's a wrap!
He's got something for everything.
Really,
I don't know
does.
Why you look surprised. He's got something for everything.
That was Parker House.
Right, yes!
There. It's unbelievable. It's outrageous.
He's really amazing.
I should have mentioned.
Very lucky to have him.
I should have mentioned other roles, like Esther. Maybe.
I was watching her Emmy speech last week. What a gem of a woman she was.
See, you got something for everything. Look at that.
I should have taken all this to law school.
Nah.
What does it end up doing?
Hey, man.
Reading 5 NFL books in the summer.
Yeah, but no, you get a chance to share knowledge and context right here. You know? It's like everything we've done in our lives, we get an opportunity to use as we talk sports and more.
There's a quote from Carl Williams that I can't wait to tell you about tomorrow. I can't wait, Speaks, because you're going to laugh your ass off.
All right, man, I look forward to it. We got a full boat tomorrow, been a little while. Haven't had one in a while. Cubs got another game tonight. They got a day game on Thursday. But tomorrow, we got a full radio show.
We do have a full radio show, and we'll have a really good time on the show as well. By the way, if you are interested in what Pat Murphy and that devil magic that he is using up in Milwaukee, you are going to hear from him coming up in a few minutes, so don't go anywhere. For Tyler, for Tanny, for my partner, Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support you show this show every single day. We will try to repay the favor tomorrow. Full boat show, 2 to 6. On The Score.
That's it. All right, guys. Didn't mean to bother you.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.